that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety from the Lighthouse Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me this evening via Zencaster is my friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, I think this is going to be a much happier episode than last week's episode because the Islanders are coming off of a huge shutout win over the Penguins and then a couple of other wins earlier this week against the Sabres and Bruins. And things are looking pretty good again. For the first time in about a week.
Yeah, it's funny when you think about last week was kind of like an in-between phase. The week before that was, kind of a little bit of a rock bottom. It definitely wasn't the season rock bottom yet. I think that award goes to the Uncle Leo episodes there in Washington. But it was like a kind of like a wait and see moment of the season because you could have saw. I mean, the Islanders are they're deserving of. Results. They're playing very good hockey. Like the processes are all working, it seems like. But sometimes the things just haven't gone their way. Semyon Varlamov falls over. That gives Sidney Crosby an empty net. Like stuff like that's happening. And as long as you can weather those storms and continue to play this way, the Islanders are, they're definitely within a they have a chance of making some serious noise. Like they're definitely not likely to win the division or anything like that, but They're going to be a scary team if this kind of is the beginning of a journey towards the playoffs because they're playing such good structured hockey with few blips. I think of it this way, like the Islanders of the teams in the East, like the Bruins and the Islanders, their problems are more down to individuals, whereas like teams like the Flyers, the Penguins, and Capitals, like they have like bigger structural problems. But they have the individuals to kind of mask over those problems. So it is a funny, I think this is barring anything kind of unforeseen. These are the five teams that are going to be fighting for those four spots. You can probably cross the Bruins off and say, yeah, they'll probably get in. So it could be, four fighting for three. But in the normal, in the old world, pre-Trotz, pre-Lamarillo, like I would be worried about that and call the Islanders the long shot. But we should be used to this by now, but it's still kind of tough that the Islanders should be counted and probably are counted by other people outside of this bubble that the Islanders are one of the teams that should be contending for this spot and their play, especially this past week has shown why.
Yeah. I wrote in the column today that, the division has sort of separated itself along the lines I think most people kind of figured it would have. You've got the Devils, Sabres, and Rangers at the bottom. We're going to talk a lot about the Sabres later because the Islanders are going to see a lot of them coming up this week. And then you've got the Bruins, Caps, Flyers, Penguins, and Islanders at the top. And the problem for those five teams is that only four of them are going to make the playoffs. So who's going to miss? Somebody's going to miss, and it's probably not going to be by much. And so missing Saturday's game, the one loss the Islanders had this week, was an overtime to Pittsburgh. And, it's the kind of thing where that one point could mean a lot. But the good news was they got it back with a pretty spectacular performance on Monday to go three ahead of the Penguins, or at least kick the Penguins back, I think, 3 points behind them. Let's start with that one because I think that's in a lot of ways the most notable one. It was a 2-0 Islanders win, second straight shutout for Ilya Sorokin, the second straight win. And there's, a pretty small list of guys who have two wins and two shutouts and a very small list of rookies that have back-to-back shutouts. And he's on it. And he was great. I mean, he made 20 saves, which is the exact amount of he made in the first shutout. He had two. But, he did exactly what he had to do. And were any of them truly spectacular? There was one in front, I think, on Brian Rust early in the third that he was kind of in the slot. That was a big one. There was a couple of others. But other than that, he was just very controlled, very calm. And the Islanders did what they had to do. Oliver Wahlstrom scored on the power play in the first period from what we call, most people would call the Ovi spot. I think at some point they might end up calling it the Wally spot. We'll see. That was just a beautiful sight to see. Like, that's the kind of thing that I think a lot of us have been dreaming about for a lot of this time, is like, oh man, this guy, this is exactly what we've been wanting to see from this guy. And he ripped it and he nailed it. Pageau scored in the second period on the power play. Islanders were up 16-8 in shots. I honestly don't think the Penguins had 8 shots in that game, in that period, but they were just dominated by the Islanders. And this is part of a pattern. Like, if you go back to pretty much every game that the Islanders have played with against the Penguins this month or last month, and it was a lot, the Islanders had moments where they just completely smothered and dominated the Penguins and then would come back and win and lose. Like, that's what drove me crazy. And so I was not comfortable with this 2-0 lead until there was about 30 seconds left, when I was like, okay, I think I can relax now, because the shots were 10-4 Penguins in the third period. But the Islanders really, you know, they did some good work. When the net was empty, they cycled it around and kept the Penguins from really even taking a chance until, you know, a couple of dying seconds, and that was it. And then the most amazing thing happened. It happened earlier because it was part of the Geico trivia question. But that was the first time the Islanders have shut out the Penguins in the regular season since January 9th, 1986. It was Kelly Rudy who did that. And that is an unbelievable stat for two teams that have been in the same division for the better part of that 35-year period. I mean, my mind was blown. And at first I was mad because I thought they had jinxed the shutout because they gave the answer in the second period. But when they didn't, I was like, that's the most amazing thing I've seen in a long time. I mean, it was 35 years. That's crazy. All the goalies the Islanders have had, none of them have shut out the Penguins in the regular season at any point in the last 35 years. It's unbelievable.
And when that question came across, I was convinced it was Rick DiPietro. I was like,
me too.
I was like, he definitely shut out either, you know, one of the bad Penguins teams early in his career, or maybe, you know, just towards the tail end of Rick's Islander tenure before he moved on to the Charlotte Checkers, which is what most people remember him for. He would like randomly pick and choose his spots where he would just be like a showstopper. Like, right. That one game that HBO was in the building and for the 24/7, and all of a sudden, you know, vintage, if you can call it that, Rick DiPietro showed up and they won. But that is astounding. Right. I can't believe that nobody's talked about that as much. Like, before that, I'm one of five. I'm the middle of five kids. None of my siblings were born yet. I'm 30. Like, wow. So it's just like neither of my two older brothers were born. It's just, oh man, it's that I couldn't wrap my head around that. And I kept thinking, because remember there was a time earlier in the season where they got a Geico trivia question wrong, and you just felt horrible for Eric Hornick, because, you know, he's so good at this kind of stuff. And I think it was like a question that the answer was supposed to be Michael Layton, but something was wrong. But I was like, this, am I missing a word here? Are they saying shut out like by a rookie or Nassau Coliseum? Like, there's got to be something wrong. But no, that's it. That was their first shutout. I've never seen the Islanders shut out the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly the best way to put it. Like, I didn't know that either. It's crazy. I thought it was going to be Garth Snow, the answer, because Garth was a former Penguin. You know, I just thought it was kind of one of those things that somebody noticed, like, boy, that's kind of weird. And then, and even then, even if it, let's say it had been Snow, or even if it had been DiPietro, you're still talking about a 10-year period, you know, when that didn't happen. But to be Kelly Rudy, 1986, just so you know, the number one song for that week of January 11th, 1986, Say You Say Me by Lionel Richie. Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy, That's What Friends Are For by Dionne Warwick, and Alive and Kicking by Simple Minds. Those are four great songs. Those were the top songs for that week when the Islanders last shut out the Penguins. The top grossing movie of 1986, of course, is the immortal Top Gun. Iron Eagle, by the way, came out that same January. So it's a big year for fighter planes, whatever, and guys with fluffy hair flying them. That's just an amazing thing. And again, the thing that makes it amazing is that I was 10 years. That's the day after my 10th birthday, by the way, was January 9th, 1986. And I'm 45 years old. So that's how I'm able to do the math in my head. But again, it's like these two teams have been in the same division almost the entire time. Like they've played each other billions of times. It's crazy. And I tweeted at Kelly Rudy. I'm sure other people did too, to make him aware of that. I don't know if he's said anything. Maybe he'll wait till Hockey Night in Canada. I'm sure they're going to rip him for it. They ripped him for like the button that popped off his jacket just before he went on the air the other day. So I'm sure his buddies like to find ways to rip him. But I mean, it's not really ripping him. It's sort of like making him aware. Did you know that you were the last Islanders goalie to shut? I'm sure he doesn't know. But that, by the way, was a 9-0 Islanders win. And the goalie for the Penguins was a guy named Roberto Romano, who I'd never heard of before, but he apparently started for the Penguins for several years in the mid 80s and was in goal for all 9 of those goals. Like that's, I mean, how he didn't kill whoever was coaching the Penguins at the time, I have no idea. I guess he was no Patrick Waugh, let's put it that way, because that wouldn't happen. But yeah, so that was pretty remarkable. But you know, the game itself was very controlled, and you know, not to spend too much time talking about the Penguins because I'm kind of sick of hearing about them. But that team has got a lot of issues because again, the Islanders ran them out of the building for 2 periods. Like the Penguins, I know they're on the road; they've been on the road for quite some time, and they probably just want to go home. But man, like they were looking very, very disinterested for 2 full periods until they came to life. And they've done this more than once to the Islanders, in fact, in the last couple of weeks. And like that's all fine and good. And when you've got Crosby and Malkin and Letang, like that stuff you can still win games, but you can't possibly do that for an entire season. At some point, it's going to come back to bite you. And if you haven't watched Mike Sullivan's press conference after that game, I highly recommend you go back and watch because he's very, very upset. And he knows it. He's a guy who knows my team just completely showed up for the 3rd period and tried to turn it on, and they lost. They got shut out. And so they got to fix something. And people are calling for Sullivan to be fired. They're calling for this, that, and the other. I don't think anything's going to happen. But, you know, I hope that the Penguins continue to try and do that because that will mean that they will be the team that misses the playoffs at the end of the day. It's pretty weird. You hear about them being like the model franchise, and it's like, I don't know, they don't look like a model franchise, you know, for 2 periods a game. It's kind of weird I don't know. Something is very wrong there. I don't know what it is, but I hope it stays around for a long time.
With the way the schedule is, like, and playing these teams over and over and over again, over a short period of time, that everything kind of blurs together. So if you put together like an aggregate of, I think, what, there's now been 5 games between the 2 teams, or 6, whatever it's been.
Yeah, 5.
You'd probably say the Islanders have been the better team of those 15 periods of, like, 12. Maybe 11, 12, whatever it is. Like, they've been much better. And that's not, I mean, look, the Penguins, they're like you said, they are flawed. And their depth is pretty shaky, especially on defense. But the Islanders just, like, that game last night on Sunday night was, Carey Haber always puts up those heat maps of games afterwards. And if you go into Barry Trotz's house, like he'll just have his shelves will have like picture frames of like heat maps of games that like he loved, like he would your kids. And that one would be front and center because that was exactly what Barry Trotz wants out of a hockey game. They score enough and then they just aren't, they were threatened a couple times, but, the fact that like Sorokin never really had to, he did make one save that I remember that I was like, wow, that was extremely clever. Someone was in tight, like kind of like almost level with the goal line and trying to like a little wraparound thing or something and, you know, going over him, but he like stacked his glove on both his pads, like very kind of like Dominik Hasek, like to make the save. It's just like, it's just something I don't really see goaltenders do that often in that spot. And he certainly thinks the game a little bit differently from other goalies, which is, you know, kind of the point I was making about when I was, you know, joking around about that, like he's plays like he's someone with like a, you know, classic literature novel in his pocket while he's playing, or like it's very operatic. Like there's like an opera playing and like the or a classical like musical concert with like an orchestra, and like the big, he makes a big save at like the climax or the coda or whatever it's called. And then, you know, things start to calm down again, and then they come back, and then back up we go. But I don't know of other goalies in the league who really kind of play like that. And that's kind of the reason I keep bringing up Hasek, because there's, if you think of the goaltender, there's 62 goalies in the league. And there are very few outliers. Like, you can say Marc-Andre Fleury a little bit. He's kind of like that, where his athleticism kind of makes up for some like interesting predicaments he puts himself into. Like the same goes Mike Smith, not as good, but same thing. Like, you know, likes to play the puck and stuff like that. You got guys who are, like, use their size, like Ben Bishop and Leonard and stuff like that. Sorokin is kind of like in between, like Fleury and Hasek, kind of like. Like, even like Marty Brodeur a little bit, and this is like completely hyperbolic because the goaltenders I'm mentioning like are Hall of Fame best goalies ever. But
right.
Like, you know, but like the point is, like, I'm making is like he's plays like a like his style is just a little bit different, I think, from most goaltenders in the league. And when you're playing, you know, when you're Sidney Crosby or you're, you know, Brian Rust or Jack Eichel, you've been playing against these goaltenders for so long. You've been playing against goalies like, you know, Semyon Varlamov or you know, Tristan Jarre, whoever it's been, whoever you want to say, like they all play a pretty similar game. And then Sorokin, it's not like it's completely reinventing the position at all. It's not, but he plays a little bit differently. And I just wonder if like that's going to pay off against guys, against teams who are expecting something different. You know, not trying to play like playing. You're taught, you know, goaltenders' tendencies. Obviously, I think in today's game, the book is out on everybody. Once you step into the league, I'm sure there's video, you know, 7 hours of YouTube highlights for them to study and be like, you know, he drops his shoulder on rushes, whatever you want to say. But in a game, like, it's a little different. I just think he like kind of confuses people a little bit with his style. And it's just, and at the same time, like, there's nothing crazy about it. Like, Hasek sometimes would make a save and he would end up in the faceoff circle.
Right, yeah.
Sorokin does not. Like, he, you know, he'll make these saves that you're like, damn, that was a great save. And you realize, oh, my God, he was also in perfect position on that. And, like, there's nothing crazy about it. So I'm so, like, encouraged by him and just, like, wanting to see more and more. He didn't, and I don't know if people have noticed, but – and maybe, like, this is me projecting myself on him. But there were a couple of times where they'll show him after a whistle or a save or – I think Scott Mayfield blocked a shot or something and then the puck went out and – they like zoomed in on Sorokin under his mask and he was like smiling. I was like, this guy, he seems like he's very comfortable. All of a sudden, like overnight, is like, he looks comfortable. So like, who knows? Like, we still don't know like what the ceiling is with him, which is great.
Right. Yeah. No, he just, first of all, it didn't feel like it had been 2.5 weeks since we've seen him play in that other game against the Sabres. But yeah, he just seemed very calm. Like, he never, yeah, like you said, he never, there was no wasted movements, you know. And again, people think, they look at the number and they're like, ah, how many saves could he have had to make in that 20? Well, I mean, you know, if a couple of them were, you know, really kind of, you know, needed at the time and it was only a 2-0 game, like, that's kind of a big deal, you know. I mean, 2-0. My wife was sitting next to me. I watch on the computer and she's like, I was trying to look at your face and I couldn't tell what the score was. I'm like, because it was only 2-0. Like, it didn't really, you know, I didn't know what to expect. Going back to Saturday's game, which the Islanders lost in overtime to the Penguins, they scored twice in 28 seconds, the Penguins did. The Islanders had a 2-0 lead. They were cruising. For the first half of that game, it was all Islanders. They had, again, it was Nelson from Wahlstrom. Barzell had a great goal. Everything was coming up Islanders. And all of a sudden, in 28 seconds, like you said, Varlamov fell down. The Penguins scored. Crystal Tang scored a power play goal. And that's it. And all of a sudden, it's a tie game. The Islanders took a lead late, and then 18 seconds into the third period, the Penguins tie it up again. And so the Penguins decided to take the first 30 minutes of the game off, played only for the last 30, and walked out with 2 points. And that's the kind of, like, frustrating, you know, series against these guys they've had all this year. Letang's winner in overtime, I'm sure Varlamov is going to be seeing that in his nightmares, right? It was a nothing shot that just sort of knuckled over his glove, and it was like, really? Seriously?
When I saw him just take the shot, I was like, oh, that's a mistake by Letang to shoot there because the Islanders are going to go the other. Oh, it's in the net.
Yeah. And I thought he was
not
like,
to shoot that shot at overtime and boom. I
mean, it looked like he could have grabbed it out of the air with his bare hand and it went in. And so, you know, I at 2-0 on Monday, I was like, this is great. But I mean, until it's over, I don't think it's over. And it turns out they hung on and won. And, you know, that was a huge, you know, the other thing about that was that that was a big, you know, you hate these kinds of, you know, grand hot take pronouncements, but like that is a kind of a huge comeback for them, because that Saturday game was, I think, hugely disappointing for the Islanders. Again, you're coughing up points to a team that's directly behind you. That greasy haired Letang has just basically walked in and stole 2 points from you. And it's like, come on, really? This after, by the way, a game that, normally this would have been the game we talked about the most, but Sorokin had to go and shut out the Penguins for the first time in 35 years. The game on Thursday was a 7-2 win against the Bruins. I mean, who the hell? That's crazy. I mean, the last time they rung up that many goals in the Bruins was like 15 or 20 some odd years ago, too. And just everybody scored. You had, you know, Martin scoring, Pelech scoring. Like, you know, is that even possible? Bo scored his first of the season because he had been hurt, and it was a beauty, too. And then Eberle fakes Tuukka Rask out, or excuse me, it was Halak, fakes him out, scores. The second 2-on-1, the other one Barzell had scored on. And then when J.G. Pageau scored his shorthanded goal, I mean, that game was over. Like, it was party time at that point, with a little assist from Leo Komarov. So, you know, as disappointing as Saturday's game was, you look back and you're like, you know, plus the win against Sabres on Monday, they took 7 out of 8 points in a week span, including, you know, 2 shutouts or whatever. And that's pretty remarkable. Like, you can't really ask for much better than that. Yeah, okay, you gave a point to the Penguins, but like, other than that, that's about as solid a week as you can get, considering the circumstances. And so, you know, again, thinking about what happened, that Monday's game wasn't the shutout, sorry. But still, like, that, you know, Monday's game against the Sabres was not good. Again, Saturday they gave up that point to Penguins, but to get 7 out of 8 points in a week is, I mean, if you keep doing that, I mean, you're going to be in first place in no time at all. I don't think they're going to keep doing that. There's a lot of hard weeks coming up, but all things considered, that was about probably the best you could probably hope for.
Yeah, I mean, if we had set like expectations, I would have probably said like, you know, I'll get 6 points and I'd be thrilled. Yeah. And Barry Trotz as Islanders, like, I know there's like that stat about them in back to backs. Like, I think they're like 22 and
yeah, they've lost 2 games out of something like that. 25 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but the thing that like I was thinking about, cause that after that Penguins loss, the one, you know, they lose in overtime, you get a point out of it. You're like, you know, they played so well and they did get a point at least. And there was a moment there that it didn't look like they were going to get a point. And Barry Trotz actually pointed it out in his press conference, which was Pelech and Pulock made a mistake on 2-on-2, and it turned into basically a breakaway, I think, for Jared McCann, or Rust, and Varlamov came out pretty well and forced the shot high and wide. But in previous regimes, like, you go to bed that night and you're like, okay, they played well against the Bruins and won, then this game. But this third game of this 3-game set is probably the most important one because of what has transpired the 2 previous games. And they didn't for a second look overwhelmed by that. Whereas like other teams, like they start chasing, like you'll notice like, all right, they'll play a scrappy game. Maybe they'll get a point. Maybe they'll win. Maybe they'll lose, whatever it is. But they're chasing the game. They're never really in control. Like the Islanders under Trotz, which is one of the things that has taken the most getting used to, is they're dictating terms of these games quite often. And not just games against the Sabres, but big games. Like that was a big game last night. And they from the second the puck dropped, you're like, wow, the Islanders have showed up. Like we're not watching them, you know, chase the game around. We're not watching them scramble in the defensive zone. We're not, you know, they didn't just give up a 2-on-1 that they survived because Brian Strait, you know, blocked the shot or something. You know, there's nothing like that really happening, which is really great. Just considering the stakes, like when the stakes go high, like this team usually meets them. So it's that is like so nice compared to what we're used to.
You know, that goes to something. I haven't been keeping the Tao of Trotz spreadsheet as I had been in previous seasons, because he just hasn't really said like too many you know, life lessons or whatever this season. But I think I've got enough. I mean, I got 2 seasons plus of Life Lessons by Barry Trotz. But one of my favorite ones, and unfortunately it's one that I can't find the sort of source for, but I know I heard him say it and I saw him say it, was talking about getting big in big moments. And I think that's probably something he preaches to the team a lot. Like, there are big moments, and that, you know, Monday's game, yes, it's a regular season game against a team you've already played four times, but it's a big moment. You know, like, you lost on Saturday. This team is directly chasing you. Had the Islanders lost that game, I think the Penguins would have jumped over them, you know, into a playoff spot. So that was a big moment, and the Islanders came up big. They, you know, the Penguins had their push. Obviously, they're not just going to walk away and you know, go gently into that night. And when they did, the Islanders were there, and Sorokin was there. So, you know, that's a big thing. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, still to this day, after 2 years of this, will still look at their roster and be like, ah, they don't got anybody. I don't, these guys, my model doesn't like them. Okay, well, fine. Your model doesn't like them. But, like, you know, they just keep coming up big in big moments for the most part. So I don't know how that works into your model, but, you know, I've seen it happen. We just saw it happen. So, yeah, again.
All we hear about is sample sizes. Here's a sample size. It's 2.5 seasons at this point, and it's been basically the same team with the same guy. The only things that have changed really are the goaltenders. I don't know. I never get it. I don't get the at some point, like, you know what? Maybe it would be annoying to have, like, these expectations thrown on us, you know, after making it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, that people expected the Islanders to be good again. But thank God they didn't, because it's nice they're flying under the radar with the way they're playing. I think partly because they had a the sluggish start, which still could really sink them. You know, that's the thing that does kind of give me a little agita. It's just like, you know, they did drop points early on in the season that they shouldn't have, and that kind of gave credence to those skeptics. And I think that, you know, what the first 2 weeks of the season, they saw that, and they put their Islanders, they never watched it. They're like, oh, I'll check back in on the Islanders in a couple months. And in those couple months, they're going to come back. And when they circle back, they're going to say, okay, this team is a, you know, top five team at 5-on-5 in terms of expected goals. And their defensive numbers look like the Bruins last year. Like, there's a lot more to like than people are starting to catch on to. It's still precarious, obviously. Like, I think it was an Arthur Staples article today that they play with the same six defensemen. I think they're the only team in the league to do that. Things are going to go awry, because they always do in any sport season. But if they play this way, and Wahlstrom, if this is a true, like, ascendance, like, completely changes things too, because they finally do get that guy who is a in a blink of an eye can change the game. Like that shot yesterday. I think Brendan and Butch were a little unfair, because they said, like, oh, that was, like, the first time that we've truly seen that shot. Whereas I think in either the game before that or the game against the Bruins, he took a shot that was a rocket. It was a save, and Peugeot sweeped in the rebound. Or I think that was the Bruins game. Like, that was a huge moment. Like, this guy is
Lee scored that goal, I think.
Right. But they have a weapon now that they haven't previously had. And, like, if there's one guy who can, like, figure out the best way to utilize something like that, it's Barry Trotz. Would be like, you know, he's going to set him up for success. And sure, he might not get the type of ice time that people want, or, who knows, he might get scratched tomorrow in favor of, you know, Ross Johnston for no reason. But, like, if you see what they're like, that the Islanders are continuing to get better this season, you just trust the process with it. And like this, I think Wahlstrom really does really change the complexion of this team, especially on the power play, which went like 8-for-10 against the Penguins or something. And they actually got penalties called for them yesterday, which was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how the second power play unit is clearly the better power play unit at this point. But I mean, if they keep scoring points and goals, like, that's going to open up opportunities for the first power play unit too. So, yeah, you know, it was a lot to like this week. I mean, there's a long way to go. And we're going to talk about this upcoming week on the other side of this break. We're also going to have our next winner of Islanders eBay swag. So hang on. You'll want to hear who it is, and you'll want to know how you can get your own. Okay. So come back in a couple minutes. Our favorite sponsor is VintageIceHockey.com, where you can buy t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs featuring over 100 classic hockey logos like the Long Island Ducks, New York Golden Blades, New York Rovers, all kinds of cool, unique t-shirts and hoodies and mugs there for the taking. They also have our Al Arbor t-shirt, which you can buy, and our portion goes directly to the Center for Dementia Research. You can use the code LIGHTHOUSE15, save 15%. And it's just a great overall site. It's got history lessons on there. It's really cool. Check it out. VintageIceHockey.com. So we're about to get into some Sabres anxiety. Not so much for us, I think, but mainly for the Sabres fans who are at the end of their rope. They're losing it. They got shut out twice this weekend by the Flyers. They play the Rangers on Tuesday. Jack Eichel was hurt. Jeff Skinner was scratched. Nobody's scoring goals. It's a bad scene in Buffalo right now. And the Islanders play this team three times this week. They do have a game against the Devils on Tuesday. You know, they're pesky, the Devils. I'm not looking past them at all. I think that, you know, the Islanders are going to have to work for that win. They don't have to work against the Sabres too, but you have four games in a week against the two teams that are taking up residence in the bottom of your division. You have to win these games. And we just talked about taking 7 out of 8 points in a week where you play the Bruins and the Penguins twice. This is an 8 points out of 8 game situation right now. Like, they really need to. And any points lost here are going to be really, really, really difficult to take. And I know I'm setting myself up for disappointment, but man, how can you look at this schedule and not be like licking your lips, right? Like, this is just like, oh man, this is exactly what they need at the exact right time.
Exactly. Yeah. And with the way that they're clicking, like, especially if they, you know, start out on Tuesday night at the Devils, who did give them problems, a lot of problems, in their first two meetings. Like, you do get a little nervous, and then you start to really heap pressure on those three games against the Sabres, and I think between the two of us, like I get more nervous for these kind of games usually, whereas like maybe you get, you know, kind of write off games against the Bruins or the Penguins or the Canadiens back when the Islanders used to play them. Just because, like, I that feeling of losing a game to a bad team, like, I can tell you exactly how that feels. Like, in my soul, like, it's that empty feeling. I loathe it, obviously. And I just don't want to feel that. And, like, yeah, the Sabres, like, we're going to talk a lot about them because there's a lot to talk about, and it does pertain to the Islanders right now because of the way the schedule's called out. I mean, they're a delicious mess right now. Just like, good God, if there wasn't a hard border between the U.S. and Canada and their hockey world right now, God, the Pierre LeBrun would be sinking his teeth into the Sabres team right now. People are mentioning them in passing and stuff, and like Jack Eichel and whatever. But if this was a regular season where it wasn't two different leagues playing, one with 7 teams and the other with 24, like they would, God, like we'd be talking about the Sabres on every show that's out there because it's there's so much to unpack with the way they are. Like, it's just like they have bad contracts. They got a star who probably wants out. They have a Taylor Hall and an unexpiring contract. They have a coach who's going to get fired soon. You'd think no goaltending. They just rebuilt. They're going to have to rebuild again. They were supposed to be better this season. Like, there's just so much there that you can like talk about. And we're in trade deadline season apparently because every hockey outlet posted a trade deadline story today for I don't know why, but we can dive in.
Yeah. Well, Jack Eichel is getting the bumps rush. Like, he's already been traded to several teams. I was listening to the Athletic NHL podcast today, and normally it's all right, but today just they were throwing around like trade possibly, you know, just like a hypothetical trade to Ottawa. And I was like, Jack Eichel would rather retire than play for Ottawa. Like, why on earth would he even entertain the idea? And what's funny is that, you know, it was a bunch of prospects. Obviously, that's the only people that are on Ottawa. And one person was like, I would take that trade all day. And I would totally trade Jack Eichel for those things. And then the other person was like, why would Ottawa trade those prospects for Jack Eichel? And it was like, what are you talking about? First of all, this trade's never going to happen. Second of all, I would trade 100 prospects for Jack Eichel. Like, he's pretty good, but he's got two goals in his last 17 games. Taylor Hall has one goal in his last 19 games. Kyle Pozo has one assist in his last 18 games or whatever. And I, you know, as an aside, like, we love Kyle. He'll always be an Islanders legend. When you're counting on Kyle Pozo to bring you offense, like, that might be a sign of bad things. Like, the Islanders don't count on Andrew Ladd anymore to bring them offense. He's there. He'll get a game in, I'm sure, at some point somebody will get hurt, but like, they're not waiting on him to score goals. They're not like, I can't believe this guy's not scoring goals. I don't know what Kyle Pozo, like, they expect to show up, because it ain't going to be him. Like, it's just not there. Hall and Eichel and Skinner are the guys who are supposed to be scoring, and they're just not. And it comes down to the coach. People want to fire the coach, but at the same time, they've had like four different coaches there in the last couple of years, and maybe firing another one isn't the best look. The thing that I forget who it was, but it might have been Pierre LeBrun, might have been somebody else. It was John Vogel at the Athletic, who brought up a good point. Like, if you fire the coach and you bring in somebody else, that guy's going to have to quarantine, unless he's your AHL coach. But their AHL coach is a rookie head coach this year. I forget who it is. And so he's going to go from like being a rookie head coach for a couple of games in the NHL. All of a sudden now he's coaching your NHL team. Like, that's an even worse look than just letting the guy run out. So it's bad up there. I feel bad. You know, we've been through similar situations like this. And you know what? The Islanders need to take advantage, and they need to go in there. And I swear to God, if they start any of these games slow, I might have a big problem, because I'm going to just completely lose my mind and be like, I can't believe you're going to let this happen. Now, they might end up coming back and winning those. I mean, you know, anything can happen. Obviously, these games haven't been played yet, but that's the number one thing that's going to drive me crazy. They need to jump out on these teams, get them early, get them over with, and just, you know, secure those 2 points and walk out the door and wait for the next one, because they're really not going to get any easier than this week. And I know, you know, I don't want to get set myself up for a letdown, but you got a lot of games against the Flyers. You got 4 games against the Bruins this month. And I know the Islanders have handled the Bruins, but at some point the Bruins are going to show up and win one of these games. So you can't count on that. And then they got 2 more games with the stupid Penguins at the end. So, yeah, things are going to get harder in a hurry. The Flyers, we all know what happens when the Islanders go to overtime with the Flyers. Bad things happen. It's not a team that's going to go away easily too. So they really need to take advantage of this week and really need to take those points, because, like you said, it's going to come back and hurt you if you don't get them. So,
The funny thing, like, the Eichel situation, it has that similar taste to it that a lot of other star players, when they get mentioned in rumors, had. It's just you know, for the past 3 years, I've just been waiting for Jack Eichel to get traded to the Rangers. And I'm sure
it's always them.
It seems like it's going to happen pretty soon. Like, yeah. It's like, it feels like we're getting there, and it's going to be a very underwhelming, you know, typical Rangers get bailed out. They get Ryan McDonough for Scott Gomez kind of move. But wow. so that's like, that's frightening me a little bit, but it's coming. Like, I just know it's coming. I've kind of like been okay with it, because I've, like, in my head, Jack Eichel's been a Ranger for forever. Like, because I'm like, oh, like, yeah, Jack Eichel, soon to be New York Ranger. Every time I see him, he just feels like a Ranger too. He just really does, everything about him. And it's when it comes, it's gonna suck, but I'll be ready for it. And the other guys too, like Taylor Hall. That situation is going to be hilarious to watch, because you're going to be like, okay, so now Taylor Hall is going to go. Taylor Hall, former number one overall pick who won the MVP like 3 seasons ago, is going to be on his 4th team in three years. You got to start wondering about that situation. And they can't score. So, like, we both know, everyone listening to this show remembers of a time when, like, the Islanders were just owned by a team. The Philadelphia Flyers come to mind. Like, they just didn't beat them for 3 years, basically 4 years.
Right. I remember when they couldn't beat the Capitals. They went like 10 years between beating the Capitals, you know?
The Senators, like, but they were just teams. They were just teams who always did it. And I would like to be that team against somebody. And there's an opportunity to be that team against the Sabres, which would be nice. It would be, you know, you mentioned the playoff series in your column today. Like, it would be a little bit of revenge for that 2007 first round. playoff series loss that I bring up every episode. We, you know, it would be nice. It would be nice to have the Sabres to be like the boogeyman team for a team. And yeah, why not the Sabres?
Yeah. There might be. Now, I agree with you. Like, the Rangers are always in these kinds of situations. Would not surprise me in the slightest if Jack Eichel did, in fact, get traded there. That name was brought up on that Athletic Hockey Show today, too. And they were like, would you trade Alexis Lafreniere and who's the other guy? Shesterkin for Jack Eichel. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm sure they're going to totally do that. But there is another team, though, that might throw a wrench in the works here. And that is Jack Eichel's own hometown Boston Bruins, who, you know, could they're getting older now. Obviously, you know, Bergeron is still great, but like, they can use another center there. There was an article on The Athletic today also by Fluto Shinzawa, who's actually really good. You know, he didn't make a really compelling case, not because, you know, of how he writes, but because the Bruins just don't have the kind of assets to give up. And it was like, you know, are they going to ask for Charlie McAvoy or something? Like, that's ridiculous. So I can't see that happening, but I can see a situation where like Eichel kind of maybe doesn't want to play for the Rangers and would rather play for the Bruins. His hometown. If he's going to force a trade, why not force a trade back to his hometown? I can see maybe that happening. So, you know, or maybe he just stays. Like, I don't know. I mean, we're all basing this on the fact that he looks like he wants to leave, you know, like he just looks like he's done with the whole situation. There's, you know, but the whole team looks like they're done with the situation. I've been saying Evgeny Malkin looks done with Pittsburgh for like 3 years now, and he's still there. So I don't know. Maybe he gets straight to the Penguins, which would be even worse for all of us, you know? So maybe he just stays there. So I don't know. It's a weird, you know, it's tough, and he's got years left. He's got a no new move clause that kicks in at the end of this year. So if he's going to move, it's going to be this year. And if he's going to, you know, if it's going to be this year, it might be during the regular season, because, you know, there's no point in waiting around. Their season is all but done at this point. Like, they just can't score. They can't win games. And, you know, you're buried at this point. So I don't know. I don't envy anybody up there. It's, you know, the perpetual rebuild grinds on. And we've been in that situation. And it's only within the last couple of years, surprise, surprise, when Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello took over, that the Islanders have gotten off of that train and are on a different train now. So even the Oilers' perpetual rebuild looks like it's on track to someplace else. I don't know where, but it, you know, they're kind of off of that train now too. So it's really just the Sabres at this point. So we'll have to see how that goes. Yeah, and then the Devils too. Like you said, they gave the Islanders problems. That was last time they played the Devils. They got shut out by Scott Wedgwood, who has neither been heard nor seen from again. So I don't know what's going to happen on Tuesday. The Devils, I think, are fully healthy now. I think they got all Nico Hischier and all those other COVID guys back. So, yeah, well, you know, that's going to be a tough one. I don't want to look past them to the Sabres game, but I hope the Islanders don't. I don't think they will, but they, you know, they need to take care of business there, because the Devils can definitely hurt you if you're not paying attention, because they, you know, they just don't go away. It's really kind of an annoying habit that they have.
The one thing I can remember about Scott Wedgwood that I'll always remember about Scott Wedgwood is that his Devil's outfit, like his black pads and helmet, reminded me a lot of Scott Clemenson, who obviously lost that game in that 2000, but to get to that Buffalo Sabres series, that shootout loss to Wade Dublowitz and the Islanders, Clemenson had those black pads and a similar kind of like look to his game and stuff. And then I think Scott Clemenson, who actually he married, like, one of my childhood babysitters is his wife, which is strange, but that's why I know he's a native of Des Moines, Iowa, for just because of that, which is strange too. But wow. he's the director of goaltending, I think, for the Devils. So I wonder, when I saw Wedgwood and I was like, dang, he looks like Scott Clemenson. I like Googled Scott Clemenson, saw he was the director, I think, of the Devils, like, goaltending situation. And I was like, I wonder if Scott Clemenson and, you know, he still has his old Devils gear, and the two of them, look like they're mirrors, images of each other. But that's just kind of how my brain works with this stuff, which is probably not normal. But yeah, just that was the only thing. Like, I honestly don't really remember much about those games, other than that, and just being like, wow, we're just not going to score against this journeyman goalie, and at that time.
Well, he had that 1 year, Scott Clemenson, where he was like the starter and he was great. Like he was really, really good that 1 year. And then that was it. And again, yeah, he was never heard from again.
He was like the original backup who parlayed one good season into a like bad contract with the next team. Cause he went to the Panthers on like, they were like, yeah, this is our guy, Scott Clemenson. Like, no, no, he's not. Trust me. You don't want to make
You're
him
right.
a guy.
Yeah. I forgot about that. You're 100% right.
Like he was like basically what Carter Hutton is now. Like you have one good year as a backup and everyone's like, all right, like let's give this guy 4 years for $6 million and see how it works.
Whoops. And then it's like, oh, he's been put on waivers. Oh yeah. I guess that makes sense. Yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah. Cause my brother-in-law is a big Devils fan. And he was like, for half of that season, he's like, they should have kept Clemenson. They never should have let him go. They should have kept him. And then I kept thinking like, yeah, but the Panthers kind of suck, like, still, you know? So that's right. Wow, that's pretty funny. Wow, little trip into Devil's history there. So, yeah, so you never know. Like, you know, some they could Eric Comrie or whatever could stand on his head on, you know, Tuesday and keep the Islanders at bay for 60 minutes. And before you know it, you're a trivia note. So, okay, let's take a look at our reviews this month. As we've been saying, if you leave us a review at iTunes and you put your Twitter handle or Instagram handle in the review, you will be entered automatically into our totally unscientific, randomly generated number thing to win some Islanders eBay swag courtesy of Mike. Did you ever send that thing to that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. It's in transit to Carl, who he lives in
Massachusetts. Carl, when you get it. Oh, it's going to matter. Oh, okay, so it'll take a few days. But Carl, when you get that item, please take a picture of it, post it to your Instagram, let us know what it is so we can share it with everybody else. We have less reviews this week, but still we have six here. And I have my random.org website up with the numbers entered. So we are going to click that button and we'll see who our winner is. All right, survey says number two. The winner is Mikey Calarco. Mikey, you are our winner of this month's Islanders eBay swag. Congratulations. This totally random event in your life. So Mike is going to reach out to you and you can share your address and some very strange Islanders thing will eventually arrive in your mailbox. And we really appreciate your review. We appreciate everybody's reviews. Please keep them coming. I mean, we're going to do it again next month too. So leave us a review at iTunes, put your Twitter or Instagram handle in the review itself, and you can enter a chance to win. So this is fun. I mean, it's fun just looking at Islanders eBay stuff anyway. You never know what you're going to find in there. It's all kinds of weird.
Yeah, speaking of the Buffalo Sabres, I actually bought a Buffalo Sabre, like the slug jersey the other night on eBay for like $20. Really? Bucks.
You Anybody's know, I, name on it? Or
just, no, I was if I was looking for, like I said, like I really hated those teams because of that series. But like, I'm trying to build out my like mid-aughts dead puck era jersey collection. And that was one that I was like, you know what? I'll just buy the slug. And if I had to pick somebody, like I probably would have went for like Maxim Afanaganov, I think. Like some, you know.
Miro Shatandin would wear those, right?
No, he was with us. He was with us. Right. Getting booed every time he touched the puck that series.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Miller is the first guy that comes to mind. Who's the other guy? Tyler Myers comes to mind when I think of those jerseys, but he's still in the league, which is pretty wild if you think about it. But he was he was like their second overall pick or something like that 1 year. One of those other Sabres rebuilds, he was up there.
I remember Pierre going nuts because just telling us how tall this tall guy is. He's like, you won't believe how tall this guy is. Like, Zdeno Chara. Like, no, Pierre, we see the same highlight you see. We can tell he's tall. Like,
yeah.
We know. We can see it. He must have been so mad the other day because the NBC broadcast didn't have him on, and they were talking about all their the Bruins and Rangers all have all these guys who went to schools in New England between them.
Yeah.
And it was Brian Boucher like talking about it, and Pierre was probably – I can't imagine how – he was probably screaming at the TV like, "You, Brian, don't forget about Charlie McAvoy and the Long Island Gulls. Make sure you tell the story about the coach."
I wonder if he's – at home like shouting at the TV about little trivia notes that Boosh or Eddie or whoever doesn't say during the game. I mean, I'm assuming he does because that sounds like the kind of thing he would do, but I'm just picturing it now. And, you know, his wife is probably like, all right, I'm going to go out. I'll see you later. Bye. And he just takes off. She just takes off until the game is over, you know, because she can't stand it.
Honey, how can you leave? Patrick Kane's about to score his 400th goal on NBCSN. Can you believe it?
Oh, dude, don't even. Patrick Kane is a great player. He's had a long career. I think we're about done with the Patrick Kane thing. Like, I hope this 400th goal is like the cutoff now, because I was telling you the other day, if according to NBCSN, we've talked about this before, if you only watch hockey on NBCSN, you think that TJ Oshie is the greatest player in the history of the National Hockey League. Again, if you only watch, if you only take in hockey information from this network, you think that TJ Oshie and Patrick Kane are the only two American hockey players that matter. Maybe they're the only two that have ever been in the entire league, because they will never talk about anybody else. And then Brian Boucher doesn't count. Like, he doesn't, you know, but it really is amazing that they, I mean, again, Kane's great. Three cups, 400 goals. It's a lot. He's had an MVP. He's Art Ross. He's got everything going for him. That's fine. Let's move on to somebody else now. You know, where's Anders Lee's package, you know, the clip show package. I don't think we're going to get one. Oh, actually, that reminds me. So the Islanders and Sabres Sunday game. So the Islanders have back-to-back matinees this week against the Sabres. Monday, Saturday at 1, and then Sunday at noon. That noon game is on NBC. It's Channel 4 if you're in New York. So make sure you watch it there. Again, maybe we'll get an Anders Lee highlight package. You never know. I doubt it. But that's kind of a big deal for them. I was watching. I'm like, Hockey Day in America starts with Islanders Sabres. Oh, okay. I'm sure a lot of people are going to tune in for that one.
Yeah, I had no idea. I found out about it because I saw when they were like montaging it in a break of the action between in the Red Wings Blackhawks game. Yeah, I saw like an Islanders clip. And I'm like, wait, why are they showing the Islanders? Like, they're not playing on NBC Hockey Day in America. Why would they do that? It's just hilarious. I think that was a fourth game between the Red Wings and Blackhawks. And I get the Blackhawks have actually been pretty good this year. And three of them have been on NBC Sports or NBC.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was watching the Bruins Rangers game. And then they were like, next week, Bruins Rangers. Like, wait, aren't I watching the Bruins or Rangers? Right? Like, we got to watch them again in a week and a half. Oh, come on. Anyway, but we've had our fill of those guys for now. But anyway, so yeah, so Sunday noon, 4 o'clock, noon, Channel 4, put it on. Enjoy probably their only primetime game of the year. Hopefully there'll be back to back wins for them. That'd be great. We really appreciate you listening. We'll be back sometime next week, maybe Monday again, maybe Wednesday. We'll see. Another packed week coming up, another game against the Bruins. So we'll have to see why that goes. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up-to-date news and discussion. You can follow us at LHH Podcast. I keep forgetting to follow that on Twitter so you can get all the updates from us and from Joe and Noel's PT Isles. Where can everybody follow you on Twitter?
The Big Lebowski with two E's.
Follow Mike at The Big Lebowski. You can follow me at Culture of Losing. And we'll be back next week. It's going to be a big one for the Islanders. So hopefully it'll be another happy episode. As this one, we've been in a pretty good mood. And I'd like to keep that going. So that'd be great. Okay. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.